Daf Tes Zayin. So we got two lines down. The Gemara says, we spoke about yesterday, this Mukhni, this type of mechanism, this, I don't know what Ezra said, a circular saw of some sort, this blade. So Amar Mar, Hashochet b'Mukhni Shchitasek Shefer. Use this blade that turns around and you cut the animal properly with this saw, it's Ksher. V'hatanya, doesn't a Braisa tell us Shchitasek Psula that it doesn't work? And Lo Kasha, there's no Stira, Habasarna de Pach or Habasarna de Maya. Depends what's causing it to turn around. If it's Bemaya, the water is pouring it down, that's not Ayde Adam, so it's on some type of faucet and it pushes pressure on it, turns the saw. So that's not a good shchita, it has to come Ayde Koch Adam. But if it's a regular Sarna de Pach, I don't know how to define that exactly, but some type of.
A potter's wheel.
Okay, fine. Where the person's individual is the one busy wheeling it around, that's Koch Adam, that's when it would be considered a good shchita. Alternatively, the Gemara says, "Hava ha b'sarna d'maya." No, even with a water mechanism using the pressure, water pressure, that also may be good. If it's an issue when you open the faucet, that first spin around, that first orbit, that's going to be good. That's considered koch adam. But already, if it's a second time around, you've lost your koch adam, and it's considered just flowed water. That's not your doing it. So, for example, let's say a person doesn't have a cup to wash their hands in the morning. You need to use koch adam. So your faucet turning on, that first flush is considered koch adam. But the additional water coming up, that's not called your koch. You have to turn it off again, turn it back on. Each time you turn on that initial thrust of water, pressure water, that's considered koch adam, koch rishon. That's good, but that everything thereafter is koch sheni. Like Rav Papa said, Haiman de kafse lechavre, a guy who tied up his friend, not really much of a friend, but he tied up his friend, and then he opened up some water, he put him to an empty pool or a bath or something, tied him down, he opened up the faucet and it started to fill up a mace and their friend dies, one's chayiv. My time and why you chayiv, gira didehu de anibe. It's that's his arrow, that's his, he put the faucet on, he put the water in, that's all his responsibility, that's called koach adam. And the Gemara says, "Ahani mili b'koach rishon." That's only true if it's koach rishon. Aval b'koach sheni grama ba'al mahu. If it's koach sheni, that's considered indirect murder, and we don't hold a person responsible. At least misas b'de adam, the shemaim, he's responsible, but not misas b'de adam. If you look at Rashi, the koach rishon, the second one, koach rishon, the two of them. The koach rishon, he talks about the murder. The koach rishon shekashu samech lesfas hamayim. If you tied the guy up next to the faucet, the kaven shenekav naka besfas hamayim. You made some opening and the water comes out. Miyad ba'omayim lepiv. It comes right away to his mouth. I don't know. You put his mouth right next to the faucet. That seems to be the case. You're not drowning him in that way. So you put his mouth by the faucet. He's stuck there. You open up the faucet. It goes right into his mouth. That's called koach rishon. About koach sheni shekashu berachok, you tied him up somewhere far away from the faucet. But ma'im halchusham, the water slowly built up and eventually got to his mouth. Even though you opened up the hole, you opened up the faucet, since it was indirect, one is not responsible for that murder, at least on again dini adam level. So this is the same thing. When a person opens up the faucet and that first turn of the blade causes the shechita, that would be a good shechita. Yosef Rav Achorei de Rebbe Chia. One time, Rav was sitting behind Rebbe Chia. Rebbe Chia was coming to Rebbe, and Rebbe Chia was sitting right in front of Rebbe. The Yosef Rebbe, Rebbe was sitting in front of both of them. The Kamar, and he asked the following question: Minayin l'shchita shehi v'talush? How do you know that shchita? You have to use an item, a keli that is detached from the ground. Shenemar, as it says, Vayikachas a machelas l'shchot, that Avram took a machelas, which is a knife. He took a knife with him. He carried a knife with that was detached in order to shecht Yitzchak, or eventually to shech the animal. So you see, that has to be detached. That's the raya. Neither does the Gemara. Gemara says, "Amar le Rav, the Rebbe Chia, my Kamar. What exactly is this raya? Amar le Vav de Kasa Ofsek Kamar." So you write a vav. It's a strange analogy, but if you write a vav on a bark of tree, that vav is not going to be very straight. There's going to be a lot of breaks in it. So here as well, your raya is very broken. It doesn't make any sense. What's your raya? And the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'ha kra kamar? Didn't he bring a pasuk? The pasuk says he took a ma'achelas. That why do you take a ma'achelas? Must be, you have to take, you can't take a branch that was there. You have to take something that was already detached from the ground. Isn't that a mefurish pasuk? Gemara says, no. Kra dizrizusa de Avram, Kamashman, is telling us that Avram could have found something up there sharp when he got to the top of Har Moriah to find. But he wanted to come prepared, so he brought a ma'achelas. Not because you had to bring a ma'achelas, that you had to bring something talish. He was just coming very prepared, in which case there is no raya from this pasuk that you have to have a sakin that's detached. You look over at Tosos for a second. Minayin l'shchita she betalos shenemar v'ikachas ha'melcheles. Ask Tosos. Vim tomar v'ha hai krovet kachim k'siv. This pasuk's talking about kachim who's going to shecht a carbon ola. The beperek hatoda u'beso perek damachatas. The Gemara learns nafkalan me'hacha the kachim tun and kli. We use this pasuk to tell us the din of kachim that you need a keli, you need a utensil for a kachim. You need to have a kli sharis. It has to be sanctified, but not to teach me any din of using a detached piece of wood for a chulin. It's talking about kachim, not chulin at all. So how could you use the same pasuk to tell me a din of kli by kachim and a din of talish by chulin? So Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam says we could learn both dinim. The le'inyan talish gamina nami achulim. You can learn the halach of chulin here as well. Why? Because the context of Avram shechting his son of Yitzchak midichsev l'shchot es bino v'lo ksev l'shchot es ha'ola. Shechting a son is not a din of kachim. It's chulin, whatever it is. It's not kachim. So the pasuk says l'shchot es bino as opposed to l'shchot es ha'ola. So telling us it's not talking about a din of kachim. It's talking about regular shechting. So we can learn halacha by chulin. Lo shayach l'maval kli regards to a keli using a utensil. Lo shayach lemelech b'chulin. There's no inyan of a keli by chulin. El b'kadshim keshar avodos debo klisharis. Like any kadshim, you need a klisharis. Has to be a certain level of kedusha to it. So he says you can learn both halachas. Midich sevayikach v'lo ksevayachin darshin talush b'chulin. The fact that he took something with him implies that it was detached. That's halacha that we learn to chulin. Then you have to have a talush. And midich sev me'acheles v'loksimechatech, that's the call, something that allows eating, that creates a heter achila, but doesn't say mechatech, to cut, darshi, you need a kli. You need an item that's established as a kli, klisharis, that's the halach of kachim. So vayikach tells us talish, and me'achelet tells us you need a keli. One's for the halachas of chulin, one's for the halacha of kachim. Okay, back inside now, the Gemara says halfway down the Amud, Amar Rava. Rava says, pshitali, it's obvious to me that talish, something detached, ulvasov chibru, and then you go ahead and reattach it. Le'inin avodas kochavim havi talish. With regards to the din of Isra avodazara, has a din of a talish. What does that mean? So we'll see in just a second, but the person were to worship a mountain, which is a mechubal karka, that mountain doesn't become asr b'avodazara. Only something that's detached, a statue, becomes avodazara. Let's say you take a statue and you reattach it to a ground, that has a din of talish. Even though right now it's reattached, it's connected to the ground, since at one point it was talish, it always remains talish. If a person worships, I don't know, these statues in the side of the mountain, that would be considered usher, like a regular detached statue. So again, he says, talish, ulvasov chivru, rather detached, and then reattached, the Indian of Odozara havi talish, we view it as detached. Damar Mar says, Hamashach v'labayish shalo asr. A guy who bows down to his own house, he actually asrs the house. Now, how could that be? Isn't my house attached to the ground? Isn't that mechubar? Now, v'tzagadayta chavi mechubar, if you think that my house, it's considered mechubar, so it shouldn't be asr my house, because the pasuk tells us, Eloheihem al heharim, v'lo heharim Eloheihem. When does Avodah Zarah chal, when is a chal on something? When there are Eloheihem, when there are gods and statues on top of a mountain, only the statues become usher, but not the mountains themselves. The person worships a mountain, those mountains cannot be usher of Avodah Zarah. So my bias shouldn't be usher either. It's mechubar lekarka. Elamai, since my house came from detached bricks, a detached piece of wood, even though it's reattached now, we still view it as talish and would be usher midin Avodah Zarah. Why is house usher? Because it's talish. Even though now it's mechubar, since it was once talish, it always remains considered talish. Then the Gemara says, le'inin hechshe zra'im tanahi. With regards to hechshe zra'im, about water being poured on fruit, the halacha applies as well. It's a machlokas actually. But there's something detached and then reattached, does that have a din of hechshe zra'im? What does that mean, hechshe zra'im, by attached, detached? The Gemara explains as follows. It's not. There is a mission that appears in Maseches Machshirim that says, hakofe kara al kosel. Let's say a person puts a bowl on, or a plate on a wall, top of a wall. So you have a wall now, nothing on top of it, and on the top of the wall you have a bowl. Now what happens is, what's the reason for doing this? So b'shvil shetudach, my bowl is dirty, and instead of me having to wash it in my sink, so I put it on the top of the wall to get water, the rain will come and clean it out. Great way to wash dishes, fine. So then, hareze b'chayutam. Let's say after it goes into my bowl, it overflows or ricochets and hits fruit that are next to it that are detached. I've got this is the top of my wall. I've got a bowl of water here. I've got some apples. I don't know. The apples is covered by a roof. So the rain comes into the bowl and it overflows onto my apple that's here. So the halacha is, that's called b'chiyutan, that's called, I want it to be there. Since I wanted the water to wash my bowl, mimele it also affects the fruit, and the fruit becomes mukhshar to become tuma. Now, let's say, b'shul shalo yilake kosel, ain't b'chiyutan. Let's say I put the bowls on top of my wall, because I don't want my wall to get wet, it's going to ruin it. So I use it to protect the wall. I don't want the water, I actually want to avoid the water, I'm defending against the water. So let's say the bowl fills up with the water, overflows, and now goes onto my apple. That is not b'chiyutan because I don't want the water in that situation. So that's the Mishnah. So then the Gemara says, now we're medayik. Ha gufa kasha, there's an internal contradiction here. Amrus, we said initially in the Mishnah, b'shvil shetudach, if I want the bowl to get wet, to wash it, so then any water that overflows is hareza b'chiyutan. But we could infer from that, but let's say I wanted the water, the wall to get wet. I didn't have a bowl there. I wanted the rain to go directly on the wall to wash the wall off. Only if I want to wash the bowl, which is a detached, which is talish, is that water considered chiyutam. If I want the wall to get wet, which is mechubu lakarka, that is not bechiyutam. So we see that even though it was attached and reattached, that's considered mechubu lakarka and not b'chiyuta. The problem is, Hadatani, the sefer that Mishnah taught us, b'shvil shelo yilakeh kosel, if I put the bowl on top of the wall to protect the wall so the wall doesn't get ruined, ain't b'chiyutan, it's not b'chiyutan because I don't want the water, I want to avoid the water, but we can infer from that, ha b'shvil sheyudach, if I want to get the wall dafka washed, ha kosel, I want to wash the wall, I want the water, and it implies, ha reza b'chiyutan, it would, the water is considered b'chiyutan. Meaning this mandamar, this sefer implies that the kosel is considered tulish, and therefore any water that falls on the water is considered hukshir, and if it ricochets onto my apples, it will be machshir, the apples. So again, there's a stira. Is water that falls onto the wall, that I want the wall to be washed, is that considered hukshir lazram, and will affect the apple or not? And depends on whether or not the wall is considered, if when it's reattached, to be viewed as being tulish, and the water is chiyutan, or now it's mechuber, and the water would not be bechiyutan. That's the steer. And so the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Tavra, Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. Whoever taught the Reisha didn't teach the Sefer, whoever taught the Sefer didn't teach the Reisha, meaning it's a machlokas, the two days. And Rashi points out, this is the machlokas tanaim about something tulish, that the bricks that are now reattached to create the wall, is that going to be viewed as mechuber or tulish? That's the question. Talish v'chibro le'inin hechshir zaram, is that talish or is that mechuber? That's this machlokas tanaim in the mission machshir. Then the Gemara says, Rapapa, he says differently now. Amar kula chadatanahu. There is no contradiction. It's all one author. So what's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? How come the Reisha, the washing of the wall, is not b'chiyutan, but the Seifa, the washing of the wall, is b'chiyutan? So he says, ha b'kosa ma'ara, ha b'kosa binim. It depends what the wall is. If the wall is from a cave, a ma'ara, which is natural, which is mechubar, so then that's considered mechubar, and the wall, the water, is not b'chiyutam. But if it's a bin, if I built it, so then that's considered talish, and then the water would be considered b'chiyutam. It's two different walls, but the same author. So that's what he says. Again, chadatanahu, habakosa ma'ara, habakosa binyan, v'hachikamar. Hakofa ka'ara al-kosa, if you put a bowl on top of a wall, b'shul shetudach, in order for the bowl to get wet and washed, ha'reza b'chiyutan, ha, b'shul shetudach, ha'kosa. But if you want to get the wall wet, the implication is, ein de b'chiyutan, it's not subject to y'chiyutan. Why? B'med d'vam amurim, b'kosa ma'ara, because that's a wall of a cave, which is mechuber, and mechuber does not machshir the water. Aval the kosa binyan, but implying in contrast, if it's a binyan, a built wall, b'shvil shelo yilake, only if I want to have the bowl there to protect the wall from getting ruined. Hakosa hu de'ena b'chiyutan, that's the only time that the water is not b'chiyutan. Ha, but if it's a case with b'shvil sheyudach hakosa, where I want the wall to be washed, where I want the water, then hareza b'chiyutan, that would be considered nichalei, I do want the water, because it's talking about a kosel binyan, which I built, which is the din of talsh. Okay, Gemara now says the last two words on the Amud here. By Rava. Rava asks the question going on to Amud Beis now. Talish ulasov chibru l'inyan shchita ma'i. Let's say you have an item that was detached, and then in the end you reattached it to something. Is that considered a good knife for shchita? We need a talish. We need something that's detached for a knife for shchita. So what's the halacha of a talish ulasov chibru l'inyan shchita ma'i? So answers the Gemara, ma'i atashma. Hayat Sur Yobsi Minakos. We saw this yesterday's daf. This was the Mishnah. This is It is a Mishnah, I think, right? Find the Braisa. The Braisa is if you have a rock that's jutting out of a wall, if you have a very sharp reed coming out from the ground, that's not a good shechita. So he's saying, it's sur, a rock from the wall. So isn't a wall something that is a talish v'chibro? And we see that it's a pasal. Must be, we view talish v'vasov chibro as mechubar and pasal in shechita. And the Gemara says, no. What type of rock are we talking about? A wall bekosa ma'ara, a wall that's from part of the natural growth of the world. It's part of a cave. I didn't build it. And Shema, and the Rai is dekanami dekatani dumi dekana. Just like the kana, which is olam me'elav, the reed is certainly where it's mechubel karka naturally me'ikara. So too, we're talking about a tsur from a kosel that was also always mechubel, namely that of a ma'ara shema mina. But that implies if it was a binyan that was a talish v'chibro, there's a possibility we could accept such a knife and such a shechita. So we still don't know. Gemara says tashma na'itz. Not sakin bekosel v'shachaba shchitas aksher. I take a big blade, I stuff it into the wall, and now I somehow take an animal and shecht it underneath it or on top of it. That is a good shchita. So isn't this a case of talish v'lasov chibro? So we do accept such a shchita. Where he says no, shiny sakin delo mevatale. A sakin doesn't really become part of the wall. We're talking about a case where you take bricks and you put it part of that. You make it a part of the wall where you really attach it well. A knife that's there and easily pulled out. That's not called mechubar. That's obviously tullish. We want to know where it's mamish becomes cemented inside the wall. What's the din in that case? Tashma, the Gemara brings another raya. B'mechubar l'karka shchitas aksher. If it's connected to the ground, we accept it. So we see here that we do accept it even though it's mechubar l'karka, even though it's attached very well. And Gemara says, what do you mean? Dilma perish kamifarishle, my mechubar l'karka, sakin dilma mevatale. Maybe it's only when it's connected to the ground in such a loose way, like a sakin is connected to the wall, which is really not connected. But maybe if it's attached to the ground, reattached to the wall in such a way where it's so mevatale, becomes part of it, maybe there, in a chanami, it would not be a good shechita. So we don't have an answer for that question. Gemara now says, Amar Mar, we said just above, nuts, sakin, makosa, if you put a knife into the wall, the shachaba, shechitas aksher, and you use that and you pass an animal underneath it, it's a good shechita. So Amar Rav Anan, Amar Shmuel, lo shanu elo shasakin lemala, that savar behema lemata. It's only true if the knife's above and you put the animal right below it and you carve out the neck of the animal below it, that's when it's a good shechita. If the knife is low down on the wall, the tzar behema, and I put the animal on top of the knife going down and start shaving it down the neck in that way, and I put the behema lamala, then that doesn't work. The cow is a big animal. So you put a cow on top of a knife, there's going to be a lot of heavy pressure there. It might just drop down, and the knife might go straight through. To be a good shechita, you have to like saw at it. If it goes, the pressure goes right into the blade, that's called derisa or darsa, that's pasul. So you can't put the animal, the cow, above the knife, because that's going to be a chashash of a daris. You're going to put it below the knife where you carve the neck out of the cow. So then the Gemara says, V'hakatani, doesn't the Braisa clearly say, Bein shesakin lamata, v'atzavar behem lamala, Bein shesakin lamala, v'atzavar behem lamata. We saw this in yesterday's daf. The Braisa says, when you put the knife in the wall, you could check that either the animal's on top or the animal's below. We don't care the direction of things. Rav Zvid says, no, that stud and katani. That price would say the animal above or the animal below was meant to be separated into two different avenues, meaning, sakin lamata, if the knife is below, the tzavar behema lamala, and the animal is above, it's only accepted if it's a betalish, if it's detached. You can only do the detached, again, if you want to cut below the neck of the animal, it only works if you're holding on to the knife. But sakin lamala, if the sakin's on top, however, and then tzavar behema lamata, we would even accept a mechubar that in that situation. Okay, fine. So then the Rav Papa says, suggests another case. No, you can actually shecht with the knife attached to the wall and put the animal on top of it. Our mechoshesh that the cow is going to put all the pressure and fall into the blade and not be a holich mevi. Rav Papa Amar beofa de kalil, a chicken or bird that's light. That animal, if you put a bird on top of a knife, it's not going to have enough pressure to create darsa, in which case you're allowed to carve out the neck of a chicken when the knife is below. But to take a cow and carve it out with a knife below, there's a chashash that might just collapse and be shema daras. Halfway down the Amr now, Amr of Chista. If Chista says, Amr of Yitzhak, Amr lay others say, b'masnisa tana, chamisha dvarim nemu b'kroma shakane. There were five dinim said about this reed. How do you define it? A sharp reed, we said, right?
A stem of a reed.
Ain shochtin, but you can't use it to shecht. Ein malim ba, you can't use it as a mila. Ein mechatchin ba basa, you can't cut meat with it. Ein mechatzin ba shinaim, you can't clean your teeth out. Ein mechatchin, one can't clean themselves after using the basa kisei. These are the five dinim. So Gemara says, ein shochtin, you can't shecht with the, ein shochtin ba, you can't shecht with the kana. Then we say before hatani, the brisa taught us, bichol shochtin, you can use any item you want, any material you want. Bein betor, bein bezachuchit, bein bekrumish kana. The first brisa that you may use this type of reed for a shechita. So Amar Rapapa says, Bisimuna de agma. Different types of reeds. So Rashi points out here that Bisimuna de agma is Esav Hagadol be agme maim, a type of reed that grows in the marshes. The Kari Lishka, the Kshu Yavish, when it's very dry, chadud, it's sharp, the Chotech, it cuts, Vein Kitzman Nivdal and Mehemanu. The Chashash is that these reeds might splinter up and won't be a smooth shchita. So you're only allowed to use this Karnish Akromis if it's very dry and very sharp, where it's not going to splinter. It's very hard, it will stay together. That's when you're allowed to. When the reed is a little bit moist, I guess, it's possible when you're using it to cut, it might splinter off and ruin some of the shechting. That's when we say not to use the Karnish Akromis. The Akromis Akana, fine. And then the Gemara says, what about when it comes to Eim Nechatkin Babasar? You can't cut meat with it. Why can't you cut meat? Because when you're cutting meat, they're concerned that maybe some of the splinters are going to go into the meat, and you're going to eat it and swallow it. It's going to be very dangerous. So he says, even though you can't cut meat with it, Rapapa mechatech ba karve dagim dezigi. He would cut fish with the types of reeds, because since the inside of the fish were very transparent, so you could see inside, if there were any splinters in there, you would know not to eat it and to remove it. As opposed to meat, which is very dark, you can't see inside, we said, don't get involved in such a dangerous act. And then Rabba bar Rav Huna mechatech ba'ofa dirachach. He would use it to cut chicken or a type of poultry because it was soft and it wouldn't cause it to splinter. To cut meat, which is very tough, so it could cause it to break up and splinter into the meat. But chicken's very soft, so there's no chashash that the reed is going to splinter off into the soft meat of the chicken. And then ein mekanchin ba, one cannot wipe themselves after using a beis hakisei with a reed because it's a concern there might be some splinters that are going to be there. So the Gemara then says, "Tepik le mishum d'amar mar ha-mekanech mekanech b'davrsha or shaletes bo shinav noshos." Why? Because of this din of it might splinter off. There's a greater concern. The Gemara tells if a person uses anything that had seen the sunlight, it's dangerous to the intestines. Who knows what kind of bacteria is going to get involved in the system, and it should be dangerous to use it. Not because of any of the splinters, but just mamish danger of bacteria or whatever the concern is. Samar Papa, Papa says, Kinuach Pimak Kamim. We're not referring to cleaning after the base of Kisei, referring to if there's a wound, a cut in the skin, you shouldn't use a reed to try to clean out any dirt there because you might cause more problems by getting wood involved there. So when it comes to base of Kisei, that's what we know from a regular din of Sakana. When it comes to cleaning out a wound, don't use it because that's also going to be dangerous. Fine, the two dots now tells us. Hakol Shochtin, no Lom Shochtin. Everyone's
on. Not mechubar. What's the right that a knife has to be not mechubar? It has to be tolish. So we rejected that.
No, he said no. We told him in the end he accepted it. Tosu said because it says vaikach velo tichen. Yeah, that's Tosu's understanding. The Gemara that says kol shochtin uli'olm shochtin. A person, everyone's able to shecht, and you're always able to shecht. Hakol shochtin hakol b'shchita v'afilu of. That what it means is everything. Everyone can shecht, and everything is subject to being shechted, even a chicken is shechted. Fine. So we'll get to dinim of Ofa in some time. So then the Gemara says, that Rashi points out, even though it doesn't say shechita by an Of, it's still subject to the laws of shechita. Then the Gemara says, li'olam shechten, you could always shecht. So man tana, who is the person telling us that you're always allowed to shecht? So the Gemara says, tana amar, man tana amar rabba Rabbi Shmuel. He must be Rabbi Shmuel. The tani, the Rashi tells us, it says in the pasuk, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu expands your borders, Kasher Diber Lach, like he told you already, Vamarta Ochli tells you eat basar, Ki Sava Nafshcha, because you desire to eat the basar. So that's the whole pasuk. So Rabbi Shmuel said, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Lo Ba, Kazra Ela Lahate Lem Basar Taiva, it's only telling us that you're allowed to have meat. Why? Shibitchilan initially Nasr Lahem Basar Taiva. Initially, when the times of the Mishkan, they were not allowed to eat basar just for the taiva to fulfill their desires to have meat. That was Asr. When they entered into Eretz Yisrael, when they became far from the Mishkan, because initially in the Midbar, they're all very cramped around the Mishkan. So if they wanted meat, just bring a carbon shlomim and you can eat meat. But now, with entering into Eretz Yisrael, where they're going to be so far in the base of Migdash, so now it's harder to have your your need for meat. So then, mishenichnas ilaretz hoter lehem baser taiva, they permitted them for having baser wherever they want. Just do a proper shechita and eat it. You don't need to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash first. V'achshav, nowadays, shegal, now that we've been exiled, there is no Beis HaMikdash anymore. Yachal, one may think, yichazu le'issur and harishon. You might think it goes back to the initial isser of there not being a heter of eating baser anymore. Maybe baser shouldn't be permitted bezman hazeh. And that's why the Mishnah tells us, no, liyom shochtin, you're always allowed to shecht. There's always a heter for shechita, even if there's no Beis HaMikdash anymore. So Maskelah, Rav Yosef, he asks two questions. Hi, liyom shochtin ve'ochum mibaylev. The focus of Rabbi Shmuel is not on the shechita. It's a focus on the heter achila. So if it's really about the heter achila, the Mishnah should have said, liyom shochtin ve'ochlin mibaylev. It doesn't say ochlin, so it's not about achila. And number two, od meikara my taima itaser. Why was it initially aser to eat baser taiva in the midbar? Mishum to having the carve the mishkan because you're so close to the mishkan. Just bring a shlamim to the mishkan and then eat your meat. Uvasof my taima ishtar. Why, when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, were they permitted from having meat? Because they have the mecharki mishkan. Now they're far from the mishkan. They're far from the base of mikdash. So then they're allowed to have meat because it's too far away. So if it's all about the distance to the Mishkan and the base of Mikdash, Kol Shekein Hasha, certainly now there are Chikalot Tvei that were further away, but there is not even a base of Mikdash anymore. So certainly the Heter Basar Taiva should be more available. So that's not Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel is not the author of the Din of Liolim Shoch. So who is the author? Says the Gemara El Amar of Yosef. It must be Rabbi Kiva. Who's Rabbi Kiva? The Sani, the Brisa, tells us the same pasuk, but he has a different, no, different pasuk. Ki yarchik mimcha hamakom asher yivcha Hashem lokech lasum shmo sham. When you become far from that place, v'zavachta mibakarcha u'mitzoncha, you're far and you should shech there. Your bakar, your tzon, fine. So what do you say? Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo ba kasev elo le'eser lehen baser nechira. There's only coming to aser baser nechira. Baser nechira is, nechira was like tearing the neck without doing a proper shechita. In the midbar, they were allowed to actually have nechira meat, which was ripping off the head or something. But that was, so telling us, when they enter into the base of meat, into Eretz Yisrael, it was aser. Initially again, b'tchila, hutelahem basa nechira. In the midbar, they were allowed to have this meat that was from nechira. Mishenichnas ularitz, when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, ne'aser lahen, it became aser to them, the basa nechira. That type of meat was aser. V'achshav, nowadays, shegalu, now that we've been exiled, we're no longer in Eretz Yisrael, one may think, yachol yichazu lehatir n'harishon, should go back to the heter of eating basa nechira, not requiring shechita. L'chach sheninu li'olm shochtan, we say, you always have to follow the halachas of shechita. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day.